If you need mustard for that corned beef you're making, get Colleen's Irish Mustard. Colleen's Irish Mustard unites mustard haters and mustard lovers from around the world. Currently, Colleen's Irish Mustard has 3 flavors in mild, regular, and spicy. For more information on Colleen's Irish Mustard, visit www.irishmustard.com.
Welcome everyone back to the first edition of the 100% Sports Podcast in 414 days. I am Ryan Glinski, Nathan Sable alongside me. Nathan, how's it feel to be back?
It's been a minute, you know. I can't believe you went and you didn't count out the days, but you know what I mean. 414 days. Doesn't seem that long. It really doesn't.
I searched it up before we went. I went, man, 414 days. January 18th, 2023 was the last episode that we ever did. And since then, Nathan, we've seen quite a bit in the sports world. Would you agree?
Yeah, a lot of it. I mean, two things in particular one thing in particular I never think I'd live to see. The other one I kind of had a feeling it was coming, but yeah, it really is amazing. If you go back in January last year and you told us what happened, we'd probably say you're crazy.
I think for me personally, it may have been the greatest football season I've ever witnessed, with the Lions and Michigan football, of course. I could not have seen that. That could not have been scripted any better for me, if I'm being completely honest.
No, and it's probably the best football season for me too, being a Lions fan. I mean, yeah, okay, Michigan, whatever, not a fan, but still, the fact that, you know, the Lions, more than anything, that they got over that, and then Michigan all in the same year, it's crazy, and it all happened, you know, in the few weeks span, but it's still not believable to some extent on my part, like that actually happened.
No, me either, and we also have another team in a playoff push at the moment, too, the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
It's all sort of coming together all at once for this town.
Yeah, and, you know, we said 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, hopefully all our teams get good at once. Well, it looks like for sure 2 of them, but I don't know about Tigers. I have some confidence in, and then I'm not even going to mention the other team. I mean, they're not even on the same boat as the other guys. But it looks like 2 of our teams are on the up, 1 for sure. I'd say for sure the Wings as well. But yeah, big difference from January of last year.
Absolutely. And the other team that Nathan was mentioning was the Pistons. They're the worst team. They actually broke a record for the longest losing streak in NBA history. So there's that. That's been in the news.
This shows how little I've watched them this year, because I'm not watching garbage basketball. Do they have double-digit wins yet?
I think they're at 9. They're at 8 or 9.
Okay, because I remember back in their losing streak in December, I said, like, man, I think the Lions are going to win more games than them. And, you know, I don't really take myself serious then, but there's a possibility that happens.
I will give you another real possibility for you as well. Michigan football has won 2 games in the 2024 calendar year. Michigan basketball has won 2 as well. So let's just say Michigan football and Michigan basketball might have the same amount of wins in 2024.
Hey, Jawan's got things rolling out in Ann Arbor, huh?
A little bit, but the Pistons are not the worst team in the NBA. They're at 9-52, and the Wizards are at 9-53.
Really?
Yeah, so they're not the worst.
God. See, Jesus. Basketball to me, though, that's the one sport. If your team's garbage, man, it's, you know, being a fringe basketball fan anyway, you know, I feel like bad basketball, it's just, if you can't watch it, at least, like, you know, bad football, you can watch it, or, you know, hell, even bad hockey, but, like, bad basketball. It's just, especially when your team's giving up 130 points every night, 120 points.
Yeah, it's rough to watch. I won't lie. I've seen a few minutes every now and then when I'm at home. When I'm at school, I don't have Bally Sports, so I can't, you know, watch that at all or even watch the Red Wings, really. But when I watch the Pistons, about 5 minutes, you got to turn that thing off because it's just – they just can't play. They just can't play. And it's – you sort of just hate to watch them because you're just like, how bad can it really get?
Yeah, but I'm to the point now with the Pistons where I don't even care. Like, I look at our generation, me and you, you know, they've never been relevant in our lifetime. Yeah, okay, when we were 5, 6 years old, that was the last time they made the conference finals, what, 08 or 09, whatever year that was.
Something about that.
Yeah, it's 15 years of irrelevancy, and it's just like you're losing a whole generation of fans, and said they've never been relevant in my lifetime, so they're kind of an afterthought, which is sad, but hey, you know, that's what happens when you have an owner that doesn't care and doesn't absolutely even live here.
Absolutely, but I gotta give credit to Sheila Ford. She's the one Ford that has really been able to turn this thing around, and not saying next year the Lions are gonna win a Super Bowl, but they, if you know, they keep adding pieces and they don't lose too much, keep playing well, possibly you could see them back in the NFC title game.
No, and that's the goal. So it's Super Bowl or bust. I was saying last year throughout the year, this year opened up a 3-year window where you're going to go for it. You're going to, like, it's Super Bowl or bust. It is. And it's not like other sports where you – football's not built like that. Other sports where, all right, you could build your team for 10, 15-plus years. It's like these 2-3-year little windows, and then you got to not necessarily rebuild but retool and move out the players. I think – hell, the 49ers, they barely have anybody on that or not as many players as you would think from that team back in 2020 that went to the Super Bowl and also lost to Kansas City. It's constantly moving in guys and moving out guys. And this is a year two of three, in my opinion, for this window where it's Super Bowl or bust. Not saying they can't win it 5, 6 years from now, but it's you got to put all your chips in the middle of the table and go for it. I mean, hell, they made it as far as they did last year. No one's – I didn't think that was going to happen.
Neither did I. And they did get a little lucky with the Bucks in the divisional round and the Cowboys.
Yeah, but again, it's – you win your game that's in front of you. And for a good half or so there in San Francisco too, it was – you know, you had it. Like, holy crap, this team's going to be in the Super Bowl. And obviously
– that didn't happen.
We kicked the field goal. But you know, hey, whatever. We're not going there right now.
Absolutely. But let's go question real quick. I know this might be a little bit early, but is the NFC North the Lions again? Is it still their division? Do they win it next year?
I mean, I think they do, but it's not going to be easy. I know Kirk Cousins is rumored to be going to Atlanta. So, you know, who knows what Minnesota's doing. And now with Justin Fields probably likely getting traded in Chicago, drafting Caleb Williams, albeit who knows, they may draft another Mitch Trubisky this time instead. Yeah. I still, the team I worry about is the Packers.
Jordan absolutely Love. I agree with you.
And you know, he looks like he's going to be a pretty damn good quarterback. Who would have thought? But I'm still confident in the Lions are going to do it. I don't think it's going to be, you know, guarantee like, oh, easy, 100%. But I'm still confident they get it done and win that NFC North title.
I think at a minimum they finish second. However, yeah. I think it's going to – I mean, I don't have the Lions schedule in front of me, but I do think that it's going to come down to those Packers games just because, for the love of God, could the Packers have just one bad quarterback? Could they just have one? You can't go 3 straight like solid quarterbacks because I think Jordan Love's going to be really good, and I hate to say it, but they just they somehow know how to develop quarterbacks. I think NFL teams just got to start looking at how the Packers draft quarterbacks, and that's how you find a quarterback. Let them sit for 2 or 3 years behind your other Hall of Fame aging quarterback, and then there you go, you're set. But I do think it's going to be a lot tougher this time. I think every team is going to improve, that meaning the Bears and the Packers. However, I don't think the Vikings improve. I feel like their window is sort of shutting on them. But I still think the Lions edge it out at like the final day. I think they win it. I think they win the division, I would say, like the final day of the season.
Yeah, and they're still they're probably the most complete team in the division, and it's their division to lose. Really, they're going to be favorites going into it. The only thing I with Chicago, I'm not really worried about is, you know, usually rookie QBs, unless he comes in and he's CJ Stroud. I mean, you know, but usually it's always a tough first season. But yeah, it's just it's going to be the Packers, and I'm confident the Lions will get it done. Even if they don't win the division, they'll still be second in a wild card, even though that's not what we want. We want that home playoff game because we saw how much of an advantage it was for that Lions team in January.
Absolutely. But I say we move on to our top five sports moments since in the last 414 days. Do you agree?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, so basically what we did was is we gave top five moments since our last episode, which was over 400 days ago. And Nathan and I went a little two different routes here. I went straight up emotional-based. You didn't go as emotional-based. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you did.
I'm about half and half.
So I'm going to start with mine. How we're going to do it is I'm going to give my fifth, and he's going to give his fifth moment, and then we're just going to go down the line. But I'm going to start off by giving an honorable mention because this is what sort of got me into this team is my dad paying for tickets for my family to go watch the Red Wings versus the Devils the day before Thanksgiving. So the day right before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was – I believe they said the Red Wings scored 3 goals in a minute 13, something around there, something crazy like that.
Yep.
But – that team just sort of – that game sort of got me following the team. I was like, this team might be pretty decent. And I think the game finished about 4-5-1, something like that. And we had these New Jersey Devil fans in front of us, and they were just sitting there like, well, our team's getting smacked around. Might as well enjoy it a little bit with a few more beers. But you know what? That sort of just got me into the Red Wings. That was my first Red Wings game, I believe, also since Steve Yzerman's retirement. They retired.
That's when been, they retired is, that's when been retired more than 400 days.
Yeah, that's 2007, I think. Yeah, they retired his jersey. My mom's favorite player, Iceman. But
mm-hmm.
That's my honorable mention. Do you have an honorable mention?
I don't really. So keep going. Keep going. All right,
number five. This happened in, I believe it was October, but Arsenal beating Manchester City in the Premier League 1-0 with Gabriel Martinelli's goal. Just of what happened the year ago of Arsenal bottling the league, Man City beating us twice, comfortably both times, and then Man City obviously going to win the treble. But they finally, as Peter's already said, they cracked the City code. They finally got over that hump beating Man City, and Arteta finally beat Pep Guardiola. It was sort of like Harbaugh finally beating Ohio State. It took 6-some-odd years for Arsenal to finally beat Man City, and they did it. And it was not a pretty game. It was very ugly, but Arsenal finally got it done, and that's going to be my number five.
All right, well, I kind of lied. I said this wasn't going to be based on emotions, but now going over this list again, come on, they're all local, and I have a tie to them. So it's more similar than we think. But number five, Patrick Kane signing with the Detroit Red Wings. That's right. Okay. You know the Wings, they're near and dear to my heart. They're my number one team here in the city of Detroit. Love them dearly. And if you would have asked me 10 years ago that Patrick Kane would be playing for the Detroit Red Wings, I would have thought you would have been smoking something good, man. Because let me tell you, he has been – well, first off, he's coming off hips resurfacing surgery, which – and for anybody that doesn't know, you don't really come back for that. The players that have, they came, they played like 20 games, and that was their career.
And
well, he has come back, and he has been a point-per-game player. I believe it's 31 points in 31 games right now. He looks like prime Patrick Kane. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for – he is a big part, and I know they struggled in Detroit in December. But he's a big reason why they are in a playoff wildcard spot right now. He has been – everything you can ask for and more for this team. And really since January when the Wings started picking up wins, you know, December was terrible. But ever since January, he has been fantastic for this team. And, yeah, again, seeing him in a Wings uniform is a little weird at first, but I've gotten used to it, and I love it, man. Sign the extension.
I agree with you. I would really hope Patrick Kane stays here. He's what, 35, 37, something like that?
I believe he's 35, 36. So you sign a 1 or 2 year extension. Look, he likes it here. He's friends with DeBrincat. The chemistry on the ice is fantastic. It's closer to home. I think he'll re-sign here. You're not going to see it till the offseason, but it's a perfect fit for him, and I don't see him really going anywhere else.
And also, don't forget, his game winner against the Blackhawks, that was unbelievable to see. And also, just the Red Wings commentators going crazy during that, but rightfully so.
Yeah, 100%. You may or may not have just stole one of my top picks, but never mind. Go ahead.
So I'm going to go number four. This one is actually very personal to me, but mine is going to be, even though the game was really bad, but it's going to be my play-by-play commentary debut for 91.5 The Mountain, CMU Women's Basketball versus Ball State.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Back in February, if anyone knows me, I've been technically commentating stuff since I was like 5 years old. Starting off with NASCAR, but I finally got to go on air. I've done color commentary for the last year and a half or so, but I finally got some play-by-play duties in. And I went down to Ball State and traveled with the team, hanging out with them in Muncie, Indiana for about a month or about a day and a half, and went inside Muncie Arena, which, mind you, for a Mac Arena fits 11,500 fans.
That is great. Wow.
It looked like a Power 5 basketball arena, but other than that, it was a pretty crappy game because Ball State is very good and Central was very bad, and I think it was over within the first 4 or 5 minutes because it was like 22-3, something like that, Ball State, and Ball State ended up blowing them out, but you know what? It was a great experience, and I was finally able to do that, but that's very personal to me, but that's my fourth spot.
Absolutely. First of many, we hope, for you as the play-by-play for the team. Love it. All right, number four. All right, even though I hate them, I have to put it in there. And Michigan winning the Natty. I mean, I kind of figure going in the fall, you know, it's theirs to lose. They're going to – and sure enough, they did it. So that's all I really have to say on that. If you want to expand on that, go ahead.
That's you're kind of foreshadowing my top moment. So we'll get into more a little bit.
Fair enough.
But and I'm sure this one's on your list as well. But my number three is the Lions beating the Rams, finally winning a playoff game. And I think what made it even more special was they did it against Stafford. They did it against the man that was the quarterback here for about a decade, and they beat him, and it was so awesome to see Stafford cry and whine in the media after the fact. And just seeing all the emotion from the fans and everything. And I've never seen a playoff victory for the Lions in my lifetime, but that is my number three, the Lions beating the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, hell, our parents have only seen one, so.
And I do want to mention one more point, and it was actually very vital in the grand scheme of things for this game. I was sitting at a bar in Mount Pleasant, and one of my friends leans next to me, and this might have been the Rams' first drive, and the Rams march down, and they're in the red zone, and the drive's still going on. My friend leans next to me and goes, "They're gonna kick a field goal here. We know how Stafford is in the red zone." And that was actually the difference in the game, because I think the Rams went in the red zone 3 times and kicked field goals, I believe. I could be wrong on that, but that was the difference in the game. And as a Lions fan my entire life, we know Stafford seems to struggle in the red zone for some reason.
Yeah, that was something else. That's definitely on my list, but we'll go to number three here. Number three for me, look, I know it's not the most prestigious trophy to win in England, but Liverpool winning the Carabao Cup. And look, it's not just them winning it, it's how they won it. They had, I believe at the time, they had 3 or 4 teenagers on the pitch at the end of the game. Bobby Clark, Bobby McConnell, a few others. Harvey Elliott leading the way. Connor Bradley has stolen the show at right back so far for this team this year. But for them to win that game an extra time, near the last minute of extra time, the captain, Virgil van Dijk, off the corner, into the back of the net against as I believe it was Gary Neville on Sky Sports. I'll give him credit where credit's due, even though he will never hear this ever in five lifetimes. But it was Klopp's kids versus the billion-pound bottle jobs. And you just love to see all those Chelsea fans sad at the end of the game. All the money they've spent, over $1 billion over the last year on players, to lose to a bunch of, well, let's put it, academy players from Liverpool. Now they had their starters out, or some of their starters out there for most of the game, whether it be Diaz or Gakpo or the captain Virgil van Dijk. But half the starting squad gone, starting 18, 19-year-olds, leading the way to beat Chelsea in a final. Man, there was that was a great feeling for those kids and for all the Liverpool fans, because that just showed you right there that, man, it doesn't matter. Yeah, okay, money helps and whatever, but at the end of the day, if you got the right man in charge and you got the right mentality, you can beat him. And the best thing out of all of that was at the end of the game, when Klopp was going around clapping the fans, and in the background on the ground, you see Moise Caicedo on the ground crying, his head on his knees, looking at Klopp about 20 yards away. Because he decided to take the money at Chelsea instead of Liverpool. But that's all I have to say about that.
I mean, a trophy's a trophy. I mean, you could be a Tottenham fan and you haven't won a trophy in 15 years.
Exactly.
But, about to be 16 years. And it's also, I like the, what was it, the Klopp's teenagers versus the billionaire bottle jobs, that we said?
Klopp's kids versus the billion-pound bottle job.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at what? Enzo Fernandez, Moises Caicedo, Mykhailo Mudryk, all those guys, they just suck. And they're all on 8-year, $100 million contracts. And yep. Todd Boehly's running Chelsea like the LA Dodgers at this point. But I mean, got to give it to Chelsea. Or Liverpool, I believe, also had a goal or two disallowed in that game as well. But hey, a trophy's a trophy, regardless if it's the Carabao Cup or the FA Cup.
No, absolutely. It felt so good to know that. Basically, our B team beat their A-plus billion-dollar team. It was so good.
They're also 11th in the league, so I guess it's not, like, too much, but...
No, it's just the fact that they spent, like you said, $100 million-plus on Caicedo, $100 million-plus on Enzo, I think $100 million on Mudryk.
They did.
And it's like, there's nothing to show for. It's crazy.
All right, moving on to – this is more of like my 1B than my 2, but Michigan winning the Rose Bowl and beating Alabama. And I say this is more like a 1B because my entire life, Alabama has been the team in college football. Nick Saban has been the man. Alabama has won countless national championships. I think in my lifetime, Saban's, I think, won 5 that I've seen, I've watched. But I think he's got 7 overall, 6 at Alabama, 1 at LSU. But I think I've seen him win about 5 national championships. And also, they did it in the Rose Bowl as well. And I've never seen Michigan play in the Rose Bowl. And again, my entire life was like, if there's one bowl game I'd love Michigan to be in, it would be the Rose Bowl. And like to win it, just like the overall scene, the whole just backdrop of everything with the mountains and then how it starts sunny and then it turns to night and, you know, all just how great the Rose Bowl looks. And also, that's the first playoff victory I've seen any of my football teams win. The Lions didn't win their playoff victory until a few weeks later. My high school team never won a football playoff game. Soccer was a different story, but football, no. And Michigan is 0-2 in the playoffs. But to beat Alabama and the way that they did it in overtime, then you had a J.J. McCarthy legacy drive, you almost want to put it, and Roman Wilson's catch on the final regulation drive, and then also don't forget all the special teams, how the dude almost dropped, Jake Thaw almost dropped a punt going into the end zone in the final seconds, and then Samaj Morgan muffing a punt, and they couldn't make an extra point. It was just the roller coaster of emotions in that game, and then for them to get the stop on 4th and goal from inside the 5, which Alabama's offensive line killed them in that entire game, but that's my number 2, is Michigan getting over the hump and beating Alabama.
No, that's completely valid. I mean, there's always something glorious and beautiful about the Rose Bowl. Like you said, It's the stadium. It's the fact that, you know, they start in day and it ends in night. It is something to behold. And for your team to win it finally, and like you said, first time they've been in it that you've seen it. I know for a fact you were feeling pretty good for that 10-day stretch.
Absolutely, I was.
Okay, my number two, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. It's Patrick Kane, overtime winner in Chicago. I mean, this guy played his whole career for Chicago except for 3 months last year when he was traded to the Rangers. Best American player of all time. It was Chris Chelios' retirement night in Chicago, so he had a bunch of celebrities, fans there, former players. And then on top of it, it's his return to the Blackhawks. And this is pretty much like the equivalent of Steve Yzerman leaving the Red Wings to play for another team and coming back for the first time. I mean, it is that huge. He won 3 Stanley Cups with them. And after the first TV timeout, they had a video going for him, and they applauded him. He applauded them. He skated around the ice a few times. And it was not the Wings' best game, we'll put it to you that way. They were losing. They were down 1 in the third. And Chicago's garbage. Worst team in the league other than San Jose. DeBrincat ties it up. I'm like, okay, we're going to overtime. Let's go get the second point. Sure enough, there's a freaking breakaway. And I'm watching it play out on my TV. And I noticed, all right, we got two Wings guys back. It's a little bit of I think it was a save by Reimer and then the rebound and DeBrincat. I'm like, I think it's going to be Kane that's out there in center ice right now. Sure enough, passes the puck. Patrick Kane, clean breakaway, the cleanest breakaway you will ever see. Nobody around. First game back in Chicago, top shelf blocker side over Peter Mrazek, game winner. I mean, it was. If you think the NFL is scripted or you think the NHL is scripted, I don't even think they would have wrote that. It was amazing. And the fact that Chicago was cheering, I mean, it was pretty loud in there. There were a lot of Wings fans, but the fans were cheering that he scored the game winner for Detroit. It was awesome. It's probably one of the coolest things I've seen, not just in hockey, but all of sports. And it's definitely moment of the year for me with the Wings. That was it was something else. Nobody could have wrote that or scripted that any better that night. And it was amazing.
And he also scored it against a former Red Wing, too, Mrazek, right?
Yep, Peter Mrazek, former Wing against a former Blackhawk.
That could not write that any better. But my best moment, it's already been stated before, but Michigan winning the national championship. I have not seen Arsenal win the league, a major trophy. I've seen them win FA Cups, but not win a trophy. Lions have won a Super Bowl. Pistons have won a championship. Red Wings, Stanley Cup. I've seen that one, but I was a little kid. Tigers win a World Series. Michigan basketball went to Monday night how many times. But, man, this is the first time one of my teams, it only took 20 years, but one of my teams to finally win the whole thing. And Michigan did it. They did it, and they also dominated Washington, which was something I didn't expect, especially being from the number one offense in Washington. But just the whole season, 15-0, perfection. Everyone was talking about how this is their season, it's their year. And, I thought they're going to win the Big Ten, but it's just all about the playoff. Can they do something in the playoffs, win a bowl game? They won a bowl game since 2015. And they did everything, and then, of course, you know, the Connor Stallions sign-stealing, whatever that is. Michigan's not going to get punished because Harbaugh and everyone is gone at this rate, but, you know, they beat Ohio State. They went into Happy Valley. They shut out Michigan State. Then they win the Big Ten, and then they beat Washington, and they didn't just beat Washington. They killed Washington. Michael Penix walking off the field holding his rib cage. He got hit so many times, and they held the number one offense in the nation, just 13 points and one touchdown all game long. And it went at 34-13. And it was just magical to see all the – just everything happen, the trophy presentation. And the whole team was so bought in, so brought together. And they attacked every single game. And I don't think they trailed all season long besides the Alabama game, if I'm wrong on that. I might be wrong on that, but – again, they just they never gave up more than I think 25 points in a game all season. It was just a perfect season, and they capped it off with a national championship. Now, next season, that's a totally different story, but it was just a magical, magical ride for the Wolverines this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you give credit where credit's due. That was a great team. And, yeah, I knew you were going to be happy about that, and you definitely were. And you had every right to celebrate, and, hey, that's something you can hold on to the rest of your life, too. You won a natty, which is most college fans can't say about their college.
Absolutely.
All right, my number one, you mentioned it earlier, the Lions' first playoff win against the Rams. I didn't know what to expect going into this game in terms of, like, what I was going to feel. I've never experienced it. I knew the crowd was going to be amazing, but they were even better than that. It was so loud in there. And, again, a script writer couldn't have wrote it any better. Who would have thought it would have been against Matt effing Stafford? I mean, it was glorious. The only thing that would have made it better in terms of script writing is if he let a fourth quarter drive at the end of the game to win it for the Rams. But,
yeah,
thank God that didn't happen. But it was amazing. Something I never experienced before. And I shed a few tears at the end of that game. I'm not going to lie. It was just something you go through your whole life thinking, all right, they're never going to do it. They're never going to do it. And you just come to terms with the fact that they won't. Because, you know, they've only done it once in 65 years. And for them to do that, it was amazing. Then they go out the next week and they win another playoff game. So they won more playoff games in a one-week stretch than they have in the last 65 years, which I love that stat. That's going to be something I'm going to reference for a while. But it was awesome. First playoff win. Obviously, they went to the NFC Championship game. But I'm sure when they win a Super Bowl eventually, it's going to be even way better than that feeling.
Yeah, the city of Detroit is going to burn down if that happens.
Yeah, I'm like I said, if the Wings won a Stanley Cup, I don't know what I'd do. I'm scared of what I don't know. So that's if the Lions win a Super Bowl, man, this city is going to be something else. That parade is going to be awesome.
It's going to go through the entire state, if we're being completely honest.
Yeah, but, honestly, they may do something like that, taking on a tour around the state.
That'd be something. But I think that's it for our top five moments. Hopefully we recap the last 400 days as well as we did. But don't go away. We have more sports talk right after this. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the 100% Sports Podcast. I'm Ryan Glinski. Alongside me, Nathan Sabo. And Nathan, your Red Wings this year, finally in a playoff race for the first time since, what, 2013, 2012, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I think the last year they made it was 2015, 2016. But let's be honest, like you said, last time they've had a legitimate chance to win a round was 2013, 2014. The last 3 years they made the playoffs, it was more like, all right, you know, what are we doing here? We got a bunch of old guys. But yes, no, it's they're in the playoffs chance for sure. I mean, look, they're sitting at 72 points right now. They're 4 points clear of New York. There's really just one team that they have to worry about, I think, in my opinion, of catching them, and that's the Islanders. They've been hot of late. I think they've won three in a row. And obviously the Wings, they won six in a row, and now they've lost three in a row. So it's haven't looked particularly good, especially this past game last night, losing to Colorado 7-2. But I'm not worried about it. This whole season's been stretches of good play and bad play. That six-game winning streak is going to go a long way because that's 12 points. So, you know, you can not necessarily – be bad for a while, but you can afford losing a little bit with that, considering they built about a 10-point gap between them and the next team, albeit only now it's four. So their schedule eases up a little bit here for a few weeks span, and then April, forget about it. I mean, it's going to be tough. Obviously, losing Larkin to injury for a few weeks is not ideal. But again, if you had this stretch of games coming up, albeit last night, without him, you it's not the end of the world. There's definitely winnable games in there. And like this Friday night, they play the Arizona Coyotes, who I think they've won 2 in a row, but prior to that, they lost 14 in a row. So it's a game you got to win, and I'm not too worried about them yet. If they keep losing, fine, but they'll turn it around.
All right, Nathan, if you could give me a magic point number that the Red Wings need to eclipse to for sure get them in the playoffs, what's the point tally?
For sure is 95. I've been going with that for about a month now. I think you hit 95, you're in. So that's 10 wins plus 3 games in overtime. Yeah, so – and I know at the end of their winning streak – if they went 14-9, that gets them to 100. Like, if you hit 100 points, you're in. But I think 95 is the number that for sure you're in. 95. And look, 72 now. I think there's 20 games left. So you pull wins together, you'll be good. They have another big game against the Islanders, who, as I said before, is a team they got to watch out for. That game's, I believe, in a few weeks on a Thursday. So, but 95 is my magic point number to get in.
How important do you think this Red Wings team of making the playoffs this year? Because they got young pieces still, Sider, DeBrincat, Larkin, I don't think has been in the playoffs yet, and Lucas Raymond and all those guys. How important do you think it is to get these young guys some playoff experience for, let's just say, the expectations for their playoff run might not be extremely high compared to, say, 2-3 years down the line where they're competing with the point tallies of, like, they're over 100 in the playoffs and they're competing for possibly a Stanley Cup. How important do you think it is for them to get some playoff experience?
It's very, very important for the young guys. I mean, the good thing about this Wings team is it's not your typical, like, all-young team with no playoff experience. The only two young Eisman guys are Sider and Raymond. So it's not like your typical, all right, we got 5 or 6 young guys leading the way that all haven't had experience. They've mixed in Compher and Perron and Kopp and Kane that have all had playoff experiences and winning cups, which helps a lot. Gostisbehere, Sherratt, another one. But it is important because I always look at when you have a younger team per se, and I'm not saying that they do. They have plenty of young prospects that haven't even come up yet that I expect to be up next year and the year after. But whenever I see, like, a young team make the playoffs for the first time, I kind of just like, all right, get your feet wet, learn what it is, because it's a completely different game. And then you learn from that next year and know what it takes to go on a cup run. Because it's not easy. Now, with this Wings team, look, I expect them to lose in the first round. I hope they win a couple games. I think they can win a playoff series only because of what I said before. They have that experience on their roster. It's not like they have 6-7 guys who've never played before or all 20 years old. So I think they can win a series. But again, get in the playoffs, have some home playoffs games. God, I know for a fact, being in a lot of games this year, that barn's going to be rocking for it. When it gets loud, going to have one of the best home ice advantages in the league. But to go back to your question, it's important. And I think the sooner you get in the playoffs this year, all right, next year you don't have to necessarily worry about, all right, them playing there. They had that experience. So it kind of like speeds up the process in a way a year early of like when you're going to make a cup run because you get that out of the way. They know what it's like. They know what it's going to take. So it's very important. And considering where they are in the standings, they have to make the playoffs, barring 2 or 3 people getting injured again.
Last thing I kind of want to touch on is you mentioned all the prospects that you expect to see up next year. And we've heard a lot of rumblings of, like, Simon Edvinson, I felt like in the last 12 months, might make the team, might be on the team. And then you have guys like Sebastian Kosa, who had a really good month, I remember seeing, being a goalie, and then Marco Casper as well. Like, how early do you think those guys show up?
I think Edmondson, I expect him to be up for the playoff run. I do, only because I think he's been ready in Grand Rapids for a few months now, and they're a little log jammed up here with the defenseman on the roster, seven, which Stevie Y, I believe, is probably going to move out one of them and make room for Edmondson. Look, he's ready. He's 21 years old, and I think getting him up here for that playoff experience is vital, and I think you will see him up in April. Maybe one other, maybe a Casper. You take two guys with you to the playoffs if they end up making it. I'm not really 100% sure on that. But as far as next year's concerned, I expect another two young guys, probably Edmondson and someone else, to be on the team and slowly, you know, incorporate them into it, because he's done a good job of balancing rookies with veterans. So there's going to be a spot. Edmondson for sure next year is on the team. There's no doubt about that. And I think you could look at a Casper or maybe even a Nate Danielson to possibly make the team too. So I expect him. There'll be a lot more of Yzerman's guys leading the way for this team next year. But I'll put my money on. You'll be seeing Edmondson up here in April, and especially for the playoffs.
All right. Could I get a prediction? How do you think the Red Wings end out this season?
I think they do end up getting one of the wild card spots. Unfortunately, the one team I would want them to play, because I think they have a chance at beat. Look, you have a chance against anybody in the playoffs. But the one team I think that I'd be more confident in beating is Boston. Unfortunately, that doesn't look to be the case, because Florida is the team that is just red hot right now. I expect the Wings to get a wild card spot and probably be playing Florida in the first round. It'll either be Florida or New York, depending on where Detroit finishes. And, you know, as of now, I still would take the other team in six games, so the Wings win two, which, you know, yeah, it'll be disappointing. But, again, it's first time there. Hopefully those wins come home. Good experience there for the fans. But as of now, that's where I'm at right now with the team.
I think, if I'm honest, I'm just hoping for playoffs and a home playoff win at LCA.
Yeah.
And I sort of want to see when the draft is going on and the Red Wings play a home game while the NFL draft is going on.
Oh, God. It's going to be a mess down there. I mean, because I already looked ahead, and their first home playoff game is going to be either the Friday or Saturday of the same weekend of the draft. So I'm hoping it would be Saturday, because then at least it's stretched throughout the day. If it's Friday, then everything's on at night. It's going to be, oh, God. Oh, and the Tigers are home, too, so there's another 20,000, 30,000 fans.
That city isn't going to expect what's going to happen to them that day.
No.
But all right. I say we move on to the Fast Five and wrap up this first episode in a long time for us. But if you don't know what the Fast Five is, it's just five questions we try to answer as quickly as possible. We usually don't answer them fast, but we try. First question. Is Michigan's J.J. McCarthy a top 10 draft pick?
Well, I think he's going to be. I mean, you know him better. Obviously, you never really got a chance to see what he's capable of in terms of, you know, let's be honest, throwing the ball. But the potential's there, and I think you're going to be drafting him on potential. And, hey, I mean, that's the risk you take. You could have Patrick Mahomes, or you could have Daniel Jones. So, I don't know. I mean, I think some team's going to take a risk in the top 10 for it, and why not? Because the potential is there. I mean, look at teams that haven't hit on quarterbacks years after year, like Raiders and the Broncos and, you know, et cetera. Someone's going to do it for sure.
I think JJ is a top 10 draft pick. However, I don't think solely based off what he is right now, I don't think he's a top 10 draft pick, because I don't think he's got the tools at the moment for it. However, like you said, they're betting on potential. And we've seen he can move, he can scramble out of the pocket and deliver throws on the run. He's made NFL-like throws like he did against Ohio State and Nebraska a few times this year. Granted, it's Nebraska, but still, tough throws to make. And I also think, as much as he gets memed for it, his meditation and all that stuff, he's got the right state of mind for how he wants to or what he cares about. All he cares about is winning. If he's got to hand the ball off 32 times straight like he did against Penn State, I think he's completely fine with that. But I think what I don't want to see is him go to, let's say, the Giants, and he doesn't turn out right away, and the fan base completely turns on him right away, and I think that's where you lose J.J. McCarthy. However, you go to a place, you let him develop a little bit for a year or two, and then you finally get him going. I think that's where he thrives the most. I think he should be a late first round draft pick. That if I was a GM, I would say he's a late first rounder.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with you there. I just think, you know, team's gonna take a swing at him in the top 10 for sure.
All right, this is a question for you. Are there any moves made at the deadline for the Detroit Red Wings?
I don't think they're really going to bring anybody in. I know people want them to make a big splash, but Eisman's not going to be willing to give up a rent, prospects and a pick for a rental when you know your team's not likely going to win the cup. So the only move I do see them making is moving out Justin Hall, which is one of the defensemen, and clearing up a roster spot for Edmonton and hopefully getting a draft pick in return. So don't expect anything big, but I'm not going to mortgage the future for a flimsy playoff run, so no.
All right, I'll take your word for it. Next question. Does Brad Holmes have your trust on what he knows what he's doing in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, come on now. He's flipped it. I know people are like, well, with the free agency, he hasn't exactly done a lot or trading. Or I know there's been rumors about Legarius Sneed from the Chiefs, but yeah, he's got him. I mean, he's turned this roster around in 2 years in terms of drafting, whether it be getting guys in the first like Sewell or guys in the third, fourth round like Amon-Ra. He could, as far as drafting concerns, he could pretty much do whatever he wants. I mean, again, this team did make it to the NFC Championship game last year in the third year of the rebuild, so it's kind of like, all right, he knows what he's doing. And he's flipped the roster around in 3 years to get that far. Yeah, that's impressive. So he has my faith in him for the drafting, that's for sure.
I think so, too, because you see fourth-round draft picks like Amon-Ra, who's going to get a big payday, one of the best slot wide receivers in the NFL, and then you have day two guys such as Brian Branch and Sam Laporta making starts and making big impacts for this team. So I'm completely sold on Brad Holmes, on exactly what he knows what he's doing, because really every draft pick that's notable he's hit on, other than, you know, maybe a sixth or seventh round pick. And I also think a good stat out there is I believe outside of one guy, every draft pick that Brad Holmes has made is on the Lions. I think that is still holds today. And you also got guys like Kirby Joseph, that's a starting safety. He was a day two guy. So I like what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree completely.
All right, this is a bit of a soccer question coming out of left field here. Who is your favorite to win the Euros?
Ooh, the Euros. Ooh. Huh. Can I say Germany? Yeah, right, Germany.
They suck.
I don't know. I know who the favorite is, but I still think it should be France.
I agree.
I mean, it's going to sound, but, like, the depth they have, it is insane. Like, okay, yeah, you have Mbappe, but they're so deep in every position, whether it be, okay, Giroud can still do it, Griezmann, Dembele, they have a lot of young guys. Kolumwani.
Saliba.
Yeah, Saliba. I was just thinking the forwards. I haven't even gotten to the back five. I think the whole Leipzig back four is French. Like, they have so many, especially young, talented players to France. And, look, I know the favorite's going to be England, and they have the talent, but, you know, we know how that ends.
England's going to get there, and they're going to somehow lose on a PK or something. And let's not forget, France has made the final of the World Cup the last two times. And
yeah.
They also won the damn thing in 2018. So and they're also part of possibly the greatest sporting event ever created in last year's World Cup final. So I really think it's France. I think they just got too much firepower.
I agree. And obviously you'll be rooting for Hungary. So, you know, they got a they got a pretty, not easy group, but a pretty good group. I believe it's Germany, Scotland, and Switzerland. But when I say Germany, this isn't Germany of 10 years ago. This is a very, very poor Germany that have been bad pretty much, I'd say, since the 2018 World Cup.
I think really since 2014, they just sort of have taken a nosedive.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's exactly it. Ever since then, it's just been, and you know, with them being the host country, I always kind of worry about that. But I don't know. If I'm hungry, I'm confident because don't forget in the Euros, I believe the top four third place teams get through to the round of 16. So you don't have to be top two necessarily in your group. And hell, Hungary's beaten Germany or drew against them a lot in the last 2 years. So a little bit of a Hungary look forward towards the Euros this summer. I know our audience is very excited about that.
Absolutely. All right, last question. Will you be attending the NFL draft in Detroit this year?
I want to, but I'm probably going to be at the Wings playoff game instead. Now, whether I'll walk down there and see it or whatever, but the Wings playoff game is my number one priority that weekend. So if I'm down there already, albeit parking is going to be a you-know-what, I'll try and get a look at it. But, yeah, I'll be at the Wings game, barring that they're in the playoffs, which they better be.
If there is a Tigers-Red Wings game and the draft going on, you might as well just start walking from your house. You might as well not even...
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah.
You might as well not even bother with going and parking downtown Detroit. So, but for me, we might make it down there because that's what on a Thursday... I mean, we could probably make it for the weekend, the Friday, Saturday, but the Thursday part, that might be a little tough with school and everything. But you know what? I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, so...
Agreed. Yeah, I'd stay away from the Thursday. I just feel that that's kind of the more, you know, everybody goes to that one per se, maybe, because it's the one most everybody's most looking forward to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe hit up maybe Saturday because it starts at noon. It's an all-day thing. But, well, I'll probably walk down there, see what's going on.
All right. Anything you'd like to add before we go?
No, that's it. Let's go Wings. Playoff push, baby. Come on. We need to end that losing streak.
Absolutely. Maybe we start doing this a little more often. Would you agree?
I agree 100%, especially as wing season comes to a close and the Premier League season comes to a close. Best title race ever, man. It's going to be a fun few months.
Yep, I agree. But all right, until next time. See you.